Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you with us. And if you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And you're going to get smarter because Bill Dunkelberg is in the building. Dr. William Dunkelberg, Chief Economist for the National Federation of Independent Business and Professor of Economics at Temple University, formerly the Dean of the Business School at Temple University, the head of that whole department over there, and he's our good friend. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure.
It's good to have you back. Folks, Bill has been polling small businesses for a long time, decades. Bill, you and I are old enough where we don't talk about years anymore, we talk about decades.
Exactly.
And that's good,
but it's true.
Well, the reason I like it is because I've been alive fewer decades than I have years.
There you go.
See, I can count the decades on one hand.
Working decade.
yeah, exactly right. And so anyway, he's been polling these small businesses, folks, for all this time now. He's created a model that allows him to input all the responses that small business owners give him over a month's time on how the economy is from the standpoint of sales, profits, capital availability, back orders, inventory, all those kinds of fundamentals that you and I've been talking about now all these years. And they tell him this information. He puts it into his model and it cranks out an outstanding small business economic trends report. And Bill is nice enough once a month to join us and to give us that report. And Bill, what are your small business geniuses telling us this month?
Well, they're telling us that 2007 is going to start off, you know, not with a bang, but not with a whimper. It's going to be pretty much right on trend, which is usually pretty good news. We like to see the economy growing, you know, close to 3% in real mm-hmm. terms. And that looks like the story so far. So their optimism is not bubbling over, or to use the phrase coined by our famous past chairman of the Federal Reserve, they're not exuberant.
irrationally exuberant.
especially irrationally exuberant.
Yeah.
They're not even exuberant per se. They're just kind of solidly entrenched and ready to go for another solid year. So this ought to be, you know, another good year in the expansion that, now, I'm not sure when we're going to date the expansion, probably with 2002, but let's say 2003, 4, 5, and 6 are all very good years, and
right.
This is going to be another year in that run.
You know, Bill, I don't have a life, so I actually have read Chairman Bernanke's report to the Congress, and I've actually read your report, which came out about
a lot shorter.
Which came out about the same time. Well, actually, not that much
right.
shorter.
Yeah, same.
And I get the feeling that Chairman Ben kind of just took your report and gave it to Congress. I mean, it's pretty darn close.
Well, I'd be happy if he did that. And I know we send it down to him, but I don't know, you know, how it gets used. One never knows. But since small businesses produce half the private sector GDP, it's worth paying attention to, you know, how well they're doing and what their views are.
Well, there's no question about it, but I'm serious. I mean, I've never seen the your reports overlay each other so closely.
Yeah.
And as I say, me not having a life, I would know about these things because I read these things. But seriously, I want to come back to the Fed's report in a little bit, because there's some things in there I think that are very important for the long-term health of this country and of this economy. But let's talk about some of the things that your folks told us first. What was the overall indicator?
Well, the index turned out to be about 99, which is a point below the long-run average of 100, and the also turns out to be the baseline 1986 value. So 86 was a great economy, 3.5% growth, low inflation, and that's basically the way we read the current January survey numbers. It says that we're going to be running the same path. The thing that drove the index up was really an improvement in the labor market numbers, which had there are two of those in the 10 indicators going into the index, and they're the ones who accounted for the decline, most of the decline in December in the index, and basically they rebounded and brought the index back up to around that 100 point. So we have very good labor market numbers, and everything else looks pretty good.
Well, and see, that's another thing that Bernanke talked about was the good labor numbers and the relationship between a new understanding of labor and the productive economy we have. And we're going to talk about that and other issues with our good friend, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, chief economist for the NFIB. And we'll do that right after these messages. 20 till. Stay with us. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for using it. Thanks for taking advantage of all the features and resources we make available to you. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter and check out our blog while you're there. More and more of you are, and you're enjoying the heck out of it, apparently, because you sure are using it. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, chief economist for the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business, and professor of economics at Temple University in the great city of Philadelphia in the great state of Pennsylvania. Bill, we're talking about, folks, the Small Business Economic Trends Report that Bill produces every month based on the input of small business owners, hundreds and thousands of small business owners, hundreds and thousands, not hundreds of thousands of small business who respond to his report. And what else are they telling you about the economy, Bill?
Well, overall, we got the message that inventories might have been a little heavy in December, but that's been pretty well worked off, and so that's a good sign. We saw plans to make capital outlays jump up several points, and that's good. Outlook for the economy improved a few points. That is, more people expect the economy to do better over the next 6 months than to do worse than it has been. So those all tie together. If you're going to have more customers and the economy is going to grow, you need to expand facilities and get new equipment and do all those good things that, of course, help the economy grow and raise worker productivity.
With the combination of technology and the new and the concept of the practice, the best practice of just-in-time inventory, filtering all the way down to the last small business owner, rather than the old method we had 20, 30 years ago of just-in-case inventory, when nobody knew where anything was, nobody knew how much was in the pipeline, nobody knew exactly where all the stuff was, who had what, like we do now. Because we have this technology and the ability to track and the practice of just-in-time inventory, we've really I'm not going to tempt fate, Bill, and say that we've solved the recession thing, but we've almost got recessions down to a science now, haven't we?
Well, we certainly have eliminated, for all practical purposes, the possibility of having a recession like, say, in 1974-5, which was basically a huge inventory overbuilding or over-accumulating problem. You know, when inflation started, everybody said, hey, I can make money by just having stuff sitting on my shelf because the price keeps rising. And, of course, we ordered huge amounts of inventories, and then suddenly they had to get rid of them. And so we think that was kind of an inventory recession, if you will, an inventory cycle. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to see that anymore. For the whole economy, the ratio of inventories to sales is historically at a record low level, and that's because, as you pointed out very carefully, we can manage them now much better. You know, the computers and technology and information, so we do a much better job. And consequently, that source of instability in the economy has been eliminated.
Well, and technology. Yeah. Well, even that's getting better though. But you know, because I remember, you know, a lot of the problems in 74 and 75. I mean, that was a huge housing debacle.
Yeah, that happened there too.
Yeah, it really was. But
that was,
you know,
back in the days with with Regulation Q, and when the Federal Reserve had to set interest rates that banks could pay.
Right.
And then people started finding money markets and so on. So we had huge amounts of money running out of the savings and loans, whose only job was to make mortgages. And, of course, mortgage availability fluctuated, and then so did housing.
Mm-hmm. It was rough. I remember those days.
But,
Bill, and technology, though, is going to make all this even better because of nanotechnology, because of the ability to implant literally radio identifiers into every box, every good that we produce.
Right. We'll be able to track everything, including components that are in, you know, the final package of whatever it is that you buy.
Even clothes.
We'll know everything, yeah.
Even clothes, the fibers will have a little indicator. I love the IBM commercial where the guys are lost in the semi truck and the woman's in the middle of the road and he said, she says, "You're lost," and they said, "How did you know that?" She said, "The boxes told me."
Right, exactly.
So exactly. It's a funny commercial, but it's reality.
Yeah.
And the trick for small businesses, Bill, is to try to find a way to make sure that we have that capability in our businesses. And the good news is the technology is being developed to make sure that we do have that kind of power, that technological power, on an incremental basis, the way small business owners have to have it.
Right. If you look at where the capital spending plans are very high, of course, it's in some areas like professional services. Well, there, you know, that's not an inventory issue. That's really an information issue and records and all those kinds of things. And
right.
You know, the technology is helping all over the place.
Absolutely, Bill. One of the downers a little bit in your report was profit.
I know. Well, profits. A couple of bad things happened. One is that far fewer firms that have been raising their prices than, say, 6 months ago. And, of course, if you can't raise your price, that's not good for profits and profit margins. And then the other thing that happened, the other major thing that happened, was that the percent of firms who are reporting higher worker compensation keeps kind of creeping up. So labor costs, which is 70-80% of our costs, are going up, and at the same time we are less able to pass it on. And of course, the only thing left to squeeze, you know, is profits, with productivity hopefully helping out there a little bit.
This is empirical data, ladies and gentlemen, not just Blasting Game's opinion, but empirical data that argues against a minimum wage increase. When we come back, I'm going to get Bill to talk to us about what he thinks about one particular thing that I found interesting about Mr. Bernanke's, the chairman of the Fed, his speech, something that I think you'll find interesting too. And we'll do that right after these messages. It's 10 till. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. Little Steely Dan for you. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg. Bill, give us your website, please.
Smallbiz.org, SMALLBUS.org. That has my last 12 monthly reports. And then, of course, you can always go to NFIB.com. Right, see the final printed version, prettier than mine, but takes longer to get it there.
There you go, and you can also find that Bill also is gracious enough to let us post his report on our website.
Right.
Which you can find there along with at least one other survey. Bill, one of the things that I thought that happened this week that kind of slid right in under the radar, the average person probably wasn't paying attention to this. Me not having a life, I did pay attention to it. And that's the Nehru calculation, which is the relationship between inflation and unemployment. The old Phillips curve, in my opinion, poor way of looking at the economy, which proposes, this came right out of the 40s or 50s, which proposes that the lower the unemployment you have, you must then therefore have higher and dangerous inflation. And that was one of the things that happened in the 90s. We had high productivity, low inflation, low unemployment, and the Fed just kind of freaked out, didn't they?
Yeah, a little bit. I guess we could say Alan and a bunch of us were, you know, trained in the old school. So we, Greenspan also, was a little slow to recognize how important foreign trade was, because we were used to an economy where foreign trade didn't matter. It was so small. But the NARU stands for a complicated set of things. It's non-accelerating inflation rate of unemployment, N-A-I-R-U, meaning there's an unemployment rate we can get to which will not change the inflation rate. So that's a little bit different concept. It says we could have an inflation rate of 6% and an unemployment rate of 4%. And as long as if we were at 4 and it didn't change from 6, we would have found the economy's NARU. But of course, 6% inflation is unacceptably high. So the Fed would still be in a quandary and have to figure out how to get the rate down to 2%.
Well, I remember in the 90s making this comment, maybe to you, Bill, that the Fed wasn't believing its own eyes. I mean, they were focusing so much on the Phillips curve mentality, they weren't believing their own eyes. They actually did come back later, Bill, and admit, the Greenspan Fed admitted that they didn't appreciate this new concept, the new phenomenon of 21st century productivity.
Yeah, well, what happens, of course, we economists naturally have tried to draw the Phillips curve and found out that, that all those points, for every year you can plot an inflation rate and an unemployment rate, and they don't fit on a curve. Therefore, there is no Phillips curve trade-off that we can really work with. The economy changes. One of the most important things we did was to deregulate the economy create lots of competition in trucking and telecommunications and airlines and all that, and that changed the amount of inflation we saw with each level of unemployment, and that was, of course, terrific. It meant we could get a lower unemployment rate without inflation than we could back in the olden days when Alan and I were cutting our teeth.
Well, I said back in those days, back in the late 90s, early 2000, I said the Fed needs new models. You remember me saying that, Bill? I said they need new models.
Right.
And I didn't exactly know what I was talking about. I mean, I didn't know what the new models needed to be. I just knew that they weren't looking at the right thing. They weren't measuring the right way. And now let's talk quickly about what this means to small business, Bill. In my opinion, what this means is that the real economy that we have right now, the 21st century economy we have right now, is not going to be hampered with regard to interest rate expense by 20th century thinking. What do you think?
What it means is that, again, we can get much closer to what we think of as full employment, like the 4% level or so, without inflation. So that means the Fed won't be pounding away by raising interest rates and trying to bring inflation.
Preemptively.
Yeah.
They won't be doing they, which is what they did in the 1990s.
Right.
They preemptively raised rates, even though there wasn't a problem between inflation and
right.
unemployment.
Well, the Fed's concern is, and used to be, and probably still is somewhat, that it's better to stop the inflation before it starts, and inoculate the economy than to try to deal with it once the genie's out of the bag.
Folks, this NARU thing that they've come up with, this new understanding, is very important for you and me. I promise you, it'll help us over the years. Bill, thank you for being here. Good job today. Thanks for this report.
Thank you, Jim. Always a pleasure.
See you next time. Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And remember, always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.